Well, good morning. It's great to see you all. It's good to be here with you. Looking forward to today's message here. We're kind of talking about evangelism among leaders, kind of a qualification of a godly leader. And I don't know about you, how many of you excited about hearing about qualifications about a godly leader? Talk about evangelism among leaders. When you talk about leadership in the church, isn't this exciting? This is what you got up this morning and said, boy, I sure hope they talk about leadership in the church today. Yeah, there we go. We got some people out there, some people saying amen. Now, I would imagine you might be thinking, what are we, no, come on, we got to talk about something else. Don't you know I'm going through some things, you know, how does leadership in the church talk about things I'm going through or, you know, man. Excited about leadership in the church, right? But it's important. Leadership in the church, godly leadership in the church is vital. One of the reasons it's vital is it's because it's the way that God set it up. If you got your bulletin with you, there's a little insert in it. I'd encourage you to follow along with your insert. There's some things that you can be writing out. I'm going to read some scripture to you. I'm going to mention some scripture. And I really encourage you today to write those things out. Write down those scriptures. Because it's so important that you go back and you search those scriptures out. Now, I believe, this is going to kind of a little self-promotion, I guess. I believe that I'm trustworthy, okay? Obviously, you all believe I'm trustworthy because I'm a pastor here in the church. Otherwise, if I wasn't trustworthy, you wouldn't have me as a pastor in the church. But you know, believe it or not, I'm glad you're all sitting down. Sit down, Greg. I can get things wrong from time to time. Now, I'm not infallible, but I worship the... Greg grabbed the wall there because he didn't know that. But I worship and follow the one who is infallible. And we're going to look to him. We're going to look to what Jesus has to say, because what Jesus has to say is vital in our lives. And if you got your bulletin there, you'll notice the first statement there. It says, a biblical model of the church leadership today is necessary for the church to display the glory of God. That's why it's important that we talk about this today. Yeah, we're going to be looking to install an elder. We're also an elder in training. We're going to be hearing a little bit more about Ed Shappy and Donna. Ed's going to be installed as an elder here today. You're going to hear a little bit more of his story. Greg's going to mention that in a minute. And we have Alan Bishop, who's going to be installed as a elder in training. Just watching Alan grow. How long have you been coming to this church? I figure it's got to be 5 or 6 years anyway. Yeah, but watching him grow and God be transformed by God, by God's word, and following hard after him. We're going to talk a little bit about, but there's a biblical model that Scripture gives us for leadership in the church. And it's very important, it's vital when we talk about this model, because our job is to lead the church in such a way that we give glory and honor to God. Matter of fact, if you want to, you know, jump down there at the end, but we're going to be talking about Christ's mission, Christ's vision. Christ, what? He existed to give glory to God the Father in a way in which the world came to know the Father through him. That's why he was here. So guess what our mission, our vision is? To glorify God in such a way that people who don't know Jesus would come to know the Father through Jesus. It's that simple. So God set up these ideas on how we ought to live. Matter of fact, if you go and you look at the New Testament, any time they started a new church in any of these cities they went into, they looked to train, raise up, disciple elders to lead those church. It wasn't just one person that they put up in charge, but it was a team of people to lead those people into knowing God, serving God, giving God glory and honor. So it's really important today. I know it might not be exciting, church leadership, you know, but it is. Because it's the way that God designed things. The first scripture we'll look at today, and I'm going to look at probably four main sections of scripture. I'm only going to show one up here to you, and I encourage you to write these down. Again, go read them. How many people really want to grow in the Lord and have their lives transformed by God? Is there anyone here who wants to do that? Do you want to know how you do that? It's digging into God's Word. Back to the Bible did a survey several years ago, and people who dove into God's Word 4 days or more a week, their lives were drastically transformed by Jesus. People who spent 3 days or less a week, there wasn't any change. Their life did not have change in it. So God works through the Holy Spirit in a really unique way. That's why you're going to always hear us encourage you to get into Scripture. Get into small groups. One of the small groups that's going to be taking place this fall is this Gospel Project. And through it, we're going to be studying through the Scripture. We're going to be there'll be other groups available too. But for 3 years, going through the Scripture, starting with Genesis and working our way through, because Scripture is a way that God changes our life. It's an avenue. It's what He's given us. I saw on Facebook the other day, some guy praying to God, "God, would you speak to me?" And you see a hand holding the Bible down there. He speaks to us. And Scripture is not overly complicated. And we need to allow Jesus to speak to us what He wants to speak to us through the method that He gave us to speak to us. That's why it's so important. So get into Scripture. First Scripture today from Titus chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 5 through 9. "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers, and not open to the charge of..." Help me here. Debauchery. Drunkenness, okay? All right. I don't want to just say drunkenness. It helps. Insubordination. "For an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it." Now, this is Paul talking to Titus as he's giving him instructions on how to work in the church in Crete. Okay? New believers coming to know God, and after Paul spent some time with them there, he sent Titus to raise up elders to lead the church. And you saw some of the qualifications, but we're gonna go look at that a little bit more. There's some other chapters or other verses that, write these down. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 35. Acts 20, 28 through 35. Paul, again, is talking about elders. He said, "Pay careful attention to yourselves, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you an overseer, to care for the church which he obtained by his blood." He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in to you, not sparing the flock, and from among yourselves will rise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples. Therefore, be alert, remembering that the 3 years I did not cease, day or night, to admonish everyone with tears." He's saying, look, we need to find these overseers. Overseer is another word for elder. By the way, you know elder, the word elder in the New Testament is used some 70 times. It's not even just a New Testament word, it's an Old Testament word. You saw Moses, his father-in-law said, "Hey, raise up some elders to help you serve the people." Elders. Now we start thinking about elders and leadership. The first thing we think about an elder is what? It's got to be an old guy, right? No, that's not what that's meaning there. You know, we have this thing, respect our elders, and we do. We should respect those who've been around a little longer than us. You know, like I respect Gary here immensely. You know, guy given his age and hair color, and he's not that much older than me, a little bit. But, you know, we should do that. But this isn't what they're talking about. We're going to be talking about elders. What do they look like? What are the responsibilities of elders? But we also see them called overseers. We see them called shepherds. We see them called pastors. Now, that gets a little strange here, right? Because, well, Jay, you and Greg are the pastors of the church. And, well, that's true. We're pastors at City View Church. But really, that term is interchangeable. So as Ed is installed today as an elder, as Alan will be installed as an elder in training, it's like this idea that they could also be pastors as well. All right, we kind of look at this idea, well, gee, you guys got to be worth more value. You get paid by the church. And you know, Ed, you know, and Alan don't. Well, no, that's not that, you know, Scripture doesn't give a lot of, you know, it doesn't call, there's not two different types of elders. We're one. And it's interesting that when leadership is developed in the church, it's not just one person. You see them setting up in Ephesus was a team of elders that were raised up to lead the church. 1 Timothy, Paul's talking to Timothy. He's talking about overseers again. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you could also look in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. I would encourage you, go study these scriptures. Find out what it is. In 1 Timothy, it's 1 through 7. 1 Peter, Peter's talking about overseers. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 11. Again, he's talking about real shepherds here. Not exercising oversight under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, eagerly. Not domineering over those in charge, but being examples to the flock. All throughout the New Testament, we see this role of elders. Now, some of you may come to church here, and maybe you didn't never been to church, you know? So we're hearing these terms, and you don't really grasp what it's all about, and that's okay. Some of you might have come up in different types of churches. We've just gone through this year. We've changed the government of our church. We used to be what was called a congregational run, and that was kind of like an American-style government. You know, we kind of have people that we elect from the congregation, and everything the congregation decides where we're to go and what we're not to do, what color carpet is, all this stuff. And we don't really see those types of government in Scripture. So following Scripture, we change the style of government to be an elder-led. And again, everywhere in the New Testament, they raised up elders to lead the people. Churches were never led in Scripture by majority opinion or some dictator. It was always through a group of elders who were leading the church. They were leading under the authority of Christ. So let's look at the four responsibilities of elders, okay? First responsibility, number one, they lead under the authority of Christ. Okay, they lead under the authority of Christ. Elders, who does the elders belong to? The elders belong to the church. And they're appointed by the Spirit of God. Elders that belong to the church. If we are going to look at some kind of a hierarchy, and I'm not saying we should do this or chain of command, you would have like Christ first, then you have the church, then you have elders who serve the church. Now it's interesting though, God didn't set it up for elders to be accountable to the church. They're accountable to Christ. Greg and I, Ed, Alan, other people who are in leadership positions, we are held accountable to God, which is a good thing. Because I might, you know, I might go off and do something, and you guys are already nice, compassionate people, and you say, oh, don't worry about it, Jay, we love you anyway. You know, you got a beautiful wife who's wonderful, so we just think wonderful things about you, and all this stuff. Where God is going to say, you know what? Are you doing it the way I asked you to do it? Are you following the example of Scripture? Are you involved in Scripture? Are you letting Scripture change you? Where you all might be more compassionate and lenient, especially in America, because, you know, what's the color of our flag now in America? It's just kind of a white blank flag, right? Because we don't want to offend anybody, you know? That was kind of a, no, okay. We really don't. You know, but isn't it true? You know, anything goes, but you know, anything can't go in the leadership of the church. We might be compassionate and say, oh, don't worry about it. God said, that doesn't say don't worry about it. To the leaders, he says, matter of fact, I'm going to hold you doubly accountable. Those who lead, those who teach, because this is serious stuff. Again, Acts 20, 28, Paul says, pay careful attention to yourselves, to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Who appoints the elders, the overseers, the pastors? Who appoints them? Need to read the scripture again? Pay careful attention to the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the one in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. We've been in the church over 10 years. This November will be 11 years. Did the church make me a pastor, elder, overseer, shepherd? When they brought me in 10 years ago, did they appoint me and make me that? No. You know who did? The Spirit of God. He's the one who sets elders, leaders up. The church belongs to whom? Jesus. Belongs to Christ. How do we know that? How do we know that the church belongs to Christ? Well, Greg, did you die for this church? No. Ed, did you die for this church? Alan, I didn't die for this church. Who died for this? Who died for us? Who shed his blood that we may become his sons, his daughters? Jesus. Who bought us with his blood? Jesus did. Who does the church belong to? Jesus. It's not my church. It's not Greg's church. It's not your church. Some of you have been here in this building, in this congregation, for a long time. It's not your church. Well, wait a minute. I gave money to... But you didn't buy the... Jesus did. It's his. We also see that the elders are accountable to the Son of God. We're held responsible. I mentioned this earlier. We're held responsible by God for where we go, where we lead. Are we staying on Christ's mission? Christ came to do what? Go read John 3:17. I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. That's why Jesus came. That was his mission, to bring glory to God the Father and bring salvation to the world through his death. That's his mission. Guess what our mission is? Yep, you go look at Matthew 28 to go make disciples, but the mission hasn't changed, has it? The mission is still to glorify God, that people who are far from God may come to know Christ, may be grown, discipled, making disciples into high-impact followers who will then go reach more people who are far away from God. The mission has not changed. What Christ came to do has not changed. The role of our church has not changed. But you know what has happened through leadership in church, or maybe the lack of leadership? That's changed. I can't remember who I was talking to recently, but they were saying that their daughter was married to a pastor. And the pastor doesn't use the Bible. Because the Bible is offensive to people. It says things we don't like to hear. Hey, you know, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I don't want to hear that, you know? I want to hear how good... So instead, they start using their ideas, their thoughts, trying to attract people, to make people feel good about themselves. Imagine that, going to a church that doesn't use Scripture. There was a pastor I knew in Troy, came to pray with a number of pastors in Troy, and this pastor got to know a real good friend of mine, this guy knew Scripture, just amazing. His love for Scripture, his understanding, his study of it, far exceeded mine. And this pastor said to him, you know, I just find it amazing how well you know the Bible and how well you understand it and that you use it. You know, it never occurred to me to use a scripture on a Sunday morning. I'm serious. this person was challenged by this other pastor to start using it now. But this is what's been taught out there. This is what's been out there. And that's why biblical leadership is so important. Because here congregations can be led away from what it is that God's called us to do. And it easily can happen with just one person leading. It can happen with the congregational leading. Why? We kind of have government, right? They don't really govern based necessarily on principle, but by what's the approval rating that week in the poll. Oh, a group of people feel we should do this. So, and it's kind of like we're like on a wave going up and down. You can't lead that way. Congregations have led that way based on opinion. And we can't. The only opinion that really matters is whose? God's, Jesus's. So we look to lead that way. So leading under the authority of Christ. It's Christ's church. I mentioned before, you know, that Christ bought it. Now, maybe you're new today and you never heard this idea about his blood being shed for the remission of our sins. His blood making a way for us to be right with God. That's how he established us. That's how we became his children. It's through what he has done for us. It's his. The church doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. We're accountable to him. That's what elders do. Elders are accountable to the church, to God, and they're to serve the church. Anyone who's going to lead in the church has a huge responsibility. They're accountable to God for what we teach to his people, how we lead his people. They're not ours. Number two, care for the body of Christ. You go look in 1 Peter and you see another term for elder was shepherd. I grew up on a farm in central New York. We had sheep. Matter of fact, we had a couple hundred sheep. And in the spring, we would have about 75 lambs. We would have, you know, 275 sheep. Okay, to say my father loved sheep is an understatement. I know Dad might be watching this next week. Sorry, Dad. But he really loved his sheep, and it really had a lot to do with the 23rd Psalm in the way that the shepherd, our Heavenly Father, cares for us. So he wanted to care for his sheep. But caring for the sheep is really important. It's a position of servant leadership. You go back and you look in Jesus' day, shepherds were who? Kind of the elite in the community, right? The heads of state in the community. No, the shepherds were normally, was really more of a humble position. They normally gave it to young men to go and care for the flock and to take care of them. And so it's not, you know, this idea of elder, pastor, leader, it's not an elitism place. Matter of fact, it's a very humbling place, especially when you have the privilege to get involved in people's lives and you see what they're going through. And as you look to care for them and help lead them through that. It can be very messy. It's not really an exciting thing. Sometimes it can be really hard. You get these phone calls at 2:00 in the morning. I got this phone call from a guy 2:00 in the morning a couple week ago or so. Who's this? This is Pastor Jay. Yeah. Who's this? I don't know, but I need to talk to you. Okay, 2:00 in the morning? Good thing my wife was there because I put it on vibrate and it was lighting up, vibrating, and I was sleeping. She goes, Jay, your phone's ringing. What? It happens that way. But we're there as shepherds to care for the flock. One of the things we have to do is what? We nurture. We nurture the flock. When our sheep were hungry on the farm, my dad didn't go up and just pet them on the head. There. You're good. What did he do? He fed the sheep. He made sure they had water. He made sure they had shelter. He was there to nurture them, to help them to grow. Well, for a lot of reasons, right? We want them to be strong and healthy, make sure there's no disease in them so we get the wool, right? Harvest the wool. I remember him coming in with the shears and shearing off all the wool, and they box them up in these little bale things. And then sometimes, you know, we if there's anyone here with PETA or anything, sorry. But lamb is really good, okay? We did have this one lamb. His name was Sweet Pea. He was an orphan. Mother died in giving birth. And Sweet Pea we brought in our house. We fed him out of a bottle, and he would go outside to go to the bathroom, and all. It was like he was part of the house. He was part of the family. We did not eat sweet pea, okay? At least I don't think we did. If we did, I didn't know about it. But a lot of the other sheep, they're sheep, and you know, that's part of what you do when you have livestock, when you're raising them. By the way, we make sure we put them to sleep in the most humane way possible. Actually, I don't know how they did it. My dad would take them away, and that would happen. But that was part of nurturing the flock. Not that we're going to look to eat you at all, you think. Okay, we're not trying to fatten you up so we can... That's a little sick, Jay. But we want you to grow in the Lord. We want you to become what God has designed for you to become. I saw Alan put a thing on Facebook. He talked about being a part of the army of God. And there's an idea that there is a spiritual battle that's on. And we need to raise people up to help them be highly effective ministers of the gospel so they reach people. So we want to grow you into who God's called you to be so that you have a sense of purpose and why you're here. And that's to reach more people who don't know Jesus. That's why discipleship is so important. That's why nurturing is so important. The other thing that elder doesn't care is he protects the flock. Okay? He protects the flock. Peter says, again, going back into Acts 20, he says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. You see, it's important for people in leadership to care for the flock in such a way that we're able to know what the Word of God says and to watch out for this. You know, one of the things you hear us talk often about is the prosperity gospel. Why? Because it leads to death. It's not righteous. It's not what God calls us to do. Right? Jesus didn't say he wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Who said that? Anyone know? Ben Franklin said that. And I don't think he is Jesus. Remember, Jesus said in this world you're going to have many trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. As you go through those hard things in life, I'm there to walk through with you, and I will bring you through. We've heard testimony from people how God has brought us through. So what would happen if I'm teaching Greg here, and Greg's this guy who's just come into faith, and I'm telling him, hey, God has a wonderful plan for your life. Everything is going to go good. He's going to give you this, this, and this. Matter of fact, go down to that Cadillac dealership. Sit in that Escalade that your Heavenly Father wants to give you. It's set out there, folks. I'm telling you. And his life falls apart. What did I just teach him about trusting in God? Well, God's not very reliable. He didn't take care of me the way that I thought he was going to take care. See, this is a false doctrine that sets up these false pretense that eventually are going to fail. Matter of fact, if that prosperity gospel is reality, God owes the majority Christian world an apology, because most Christians don't live in America where they have what we have. Most people who are followers of Jesus in the world, it costs them dearly. It may cost them their family, their jobs, their shelter, their homes. It may cost them everything to be a follower of Jesus. Does that sound like prosperity? No. God's not going to give you everything you want. He will take care of everything you need when you seek first, what? His kingdom and his righteousness. He takes care of you. You don't have to worry about those things anymore. That may not mean that we have all the food we want. That may not, and eventually, we look at the times we are. Let's go in and read. I think Greg and I were talking about maybe doing a study. We're going to talk to the elders about it in next year about Daniel or something. And looking at the times we live in, boy, we go read Scripture. Go read Matthew 24. And you kind of see, wait a minute, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be all this wild, crazy weather going on. The love of many are going to go cold. The gospel will be preached to all the nations. The gospel's going out faster now, further now than ever before. Could this be the time that God's getting ready to come back and usher his church to himself? It could be. So we may be talking about that next year and getting into that. But we need to be that type of people who are ready for that. And you see, that's how elders, pastors, leaders, overseers, shepherds care for the body. They nurture them, they protect them. The other thing that elders do is they teach the word of Christ. Again, in verse 9 of Titus chapter 1, he says, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy word as taught. See, the word of God is trustworthy. That's why it's so important for you all to hear what Greg and I might say, to hear what others who lead and things say, and compare it to the word of God. Because I'm going to do my best to be trustworthy, but I want you to know I'm going to fail you. It's impossible for me to be Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be transformed more and more into his image. I want to die to myself that Christ lives in me, and it's he who now lives, not I. But I still fail in that. Greg fails in that. We all fail in that. Jesus didn't. That's why you take the word of God and you compare it to what we're saying. Let me give you an illustration. You've heard this saying, I'm sure. What was the saying? St. Francis of Assisi, preach the gospel everywhere you go. If necessary, use words. Ever hear that? Is that a biblical statement? You find that anywhere in the Bible? You do not find it anywhere in the Bible. Should we live a life that Christ's light shines through us and that people see who we are and see the light of Christ? You bet. But it never says, preach the word. If necessary, use words. Matter of fact, we hear faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? The word of God. So in that light shining, words, proclamation are necessary. But we could take that whole thing that he says, right? And make a doctrine out of it and make a way that we live as a church, and it's contrary to Scripture. You need to know that. As elders, we're going to hold each other accountable in that. Matter of fact, if you hear me teaching something and maybe you don't want to come and confront me, can't say what I was just going to say. I'm a bad dude, okay? I mean, if you do, just bring Jason Fiat, by the way. You know, Jason Fiat has a grizzly bear carpet in his living room. I want you to know it's the grizzly bear is not dead. It's just afraid to move. Do you see Jason? Stands up. Arm wrestle Jason if you want to. You might not have a shoulder left. Maybe you might not say, gee, I don't feel comfortable. Well, you can go talk to one of the other elders. Say, you know, as he said this, you know, maybe even, you know, even today, you know, I mean, we're talking about people being elders. Why is Ed an elder in the church? And you might not have might have some concern about that. And you come to Greg, and Greg can tell you, he might tell you in a little bit, how they met, and they felt right away how there was a place where Ed and Greg were supposed to work together. They just knew it. And as Greg got to know Ed and his love of Scripture, how he teaches Scripture, how he's worked it, and for years and years and years, he's lived this life to honor God, you'd say, oh, gee, I didn't know Ed that well. Well, you haven't got to know Ed that well, but you will. Alan's an elder in training. Alan's a young guy. He's like 22 years old or something, isn't he? Or he might be a little older than that. But, you know, he just looks that way. He and his wife, they're just these young kids, you know. But you see how, I mean, over the last 5 years, I've watched how they have responded to God, his call in their life. I remember talking to Alan a while back and saying, hey, you know, we've always talked about reaching kids in Scotia. How would you like to maybe partner with Youth for Christ and us to be that person? And I asked, how long was it before when I asked you that before you said, you know, okay. Okay, you know. But he responded to it. He took a major cut in pay to see that kids came to know Jesus. He's responding to God's work in his life. And be honest, that's what we all need to be doing, right? And we're committed to leading you that way, but to teach the word. An elder needs to know the word extensively and needs to be able to communicate the word. Any elder in this church must be able to persuade people with the word, encourage people with the word, comfort people with the word, challenge people with the word, instruct people in the word, give answers to people from the word, equip people with the word. What does it all revolve around? Christ's word. That's what God is calling us, esteeming us to. And that's really what the role of elders are. The authority that leaders have in the church is completely bound up in the authority of the word of Christ. It's about Christ and what he says. It's not about what Jay says. It's not about what the world says. It's not about what this teacher may say or that teacher may say. It's about what does Jesus say. I remember hearing Rick Warren say see the bumper sticker? Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, to be honest, Jesus said it, that settles it. Okay, I don't have any role in that. You don't have any role in that. Because Jesus spoke. Hebrews talks about as he spoke out of his powerful word, things happened as Jesus spoke. Jesus was there in creation when God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit spoke creation, spoke the world into being. It's his spoken word. There's power in that. There's authority in that. And that's where the leaders get their authority from, that from Christ. It doesn't come from the church. It comes from Christ. The fourth thing, model the character of Christ. Model the character of Christ. The primary question, what will happen if the church imitates this leader? What will happen if the church imitates this leader? I'm going to go into 1 Timothy here. Chapter 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, elder, bishop, presbyter, pastor, okay, we can throw all them in there, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own house, how can he care for God's church? Must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit, fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so they do not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. Do you see these ideas of qualifications that Paul says? And you can look in what I read in Titus earlier. You can go look in what Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5. We saw it happen when Paul talked with the elders, setting up elders. In Acts 20, all the way through, you see this criteria. I've only known of one person who's lived all that criteria perfectly. And it wasn't Greg. Right, Christy? Darn shooting, not even today. It was Jesus. But the Apostle Paul says, as I imitate Christ, right? 1 Corinthians 11:1, as I imitate Christ, imitate me. He said in Philippians 2, verse 5, having the same mind of Christ. We look in Philippians 3, 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. It's this idea of imitating, modeling. As we look to model Christ, follow and model Christ too. That's for all of us. So today, the takeaway is this. In order to display the glory of Christ, the church appoints and follows servant leaders who are wholeheartedly committed to accomplishing the mission of Christ. That's what we're here for. We're committed to wholeheartedly accomplishing the mission of Christ, doing everything we can, leading the church, the congregation, and everything we can to accomplish Christ's mission. It's not Greg's vision and mission. It's not my mission and vision. It's not City View Church's mission. Matter of fact, this last spring, a guy came up, Jim Cimbali, pastors a church, a mega church down in New York City. Started lots of churches, I think some 20-some churches, 27, has a big church. And he says, you know what? What's the vision of your church? Hey, it's not your church to begin with. Whose church is it? It's Jesus. What's Jesus' vision for his church? Glorify the Father and see that people who don't know the Father come to know the Father through Jesus. Everything we do is going to be about that. In order to accomplish that, we need you all to grow in the Lord and become who God has called you to become, so that you too can reach people who are far from you. You know, Sue, you know people, you work with people that I don't know. God's calling Sue to reach those people. Heather, you work with people, you live around people I don't know. Every one of us, and it's our responsibility to help you in those areas. Just look over these four things. We lead under the authority of Christ. It's his church. We care for the body of Christ. We look to nurture and protect the flock. We teach the word of Christ, not our own thoughts, not our own ways. And we look to model Christ. And you know what? That's what these two men are looking to do in their lives. We went through a process. We asked people, we asked the church for nominations for people to be elders. And we went to those people and we asked them, would you take some time to pray about this? Is this what God's calling? We're going to be praying about it too. Yes, this is what God is leading. And there's a confirmation in it. Again, we're recognizing whom God has appointed. It's not us as a church who appoints them. It's the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're looking to do today. And actually, I'm going to ask if Alan and Christy and Greg and Donna might come forward, because very much it is a team role. Didn't know that part of it, huh, Christy? That's okay. I hope you're okay with coming forward. I guess I should have asked you guys that first. But we just want to pray for you. Greg's going to say a couple things. I'll shut mine off and let you talk for a minute.